Thank you, Dave. Well, I propose to read in your hearing this morning, or this evening. Boy, do I have to catch up. One verse from Luke, the 11th chapter, and that verse being verse 1. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Do you pray? I hope that the resounding answer of the lips in the hearts of every individual in the auditorium is, "Oh yes, Brother Tope, I pray." Do you like to pray? How important is prayer to you? Do you know how you ought to pray? These and many more questions frequently come to our mind as we recognize the blessed privilege that has been given to us as Christians, that we and we alone, as the people of God, have that privilege of prayer. Importance of prayer? Well, just about from every angle that we might approach the subject, we say, well, it is of vital importance to every Christian, because what we are doing is we are speaking to God. We are speaking to our Heavenly Father, who is our Creator, and who is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, how we ask that question over and over again. The God of the universe, the God who is the Creator of all living, the God who is the Creator of every soul, of every person that is upon the face of the earth. We're talking about millions and millions of people that are living in our generation. And how about from all of the ages past? And yet, our Heavenly Father bids us pray to Him. We have such a good example that is set for us in the Bible, because in both the Old and the New Testament scriptures, you know, I did not take time out, and I don't know whether it would have been a benefit if I had, to try to enumerate how many prayers are to be found as they were uttered in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I primarily have in mind good prayers that have been offered by good people for good purposes. But saints have always prayed. Those who are believers in God from the very beginning of God's creation have recognized the importance. They have recognized the privilege. They have recognized the unique blessing of being able to speak to the God of heaven. That privilege of prayer was not one that was just reserved for a few people in the Old Testament scriptures. While all of the prophets and all of the patriarchs were men and women of prayer, but we find when we come to the New Testament that it has a special meaning. Jesus is a man of prayer. Jesus is going to teach his disciples how they ought to pray, and in the very beginning of the church, we notice that prayer is going to become a very, very vital part of the work of the church, of the worship of the church. I call attention to Acts 2 and verse 42, followed by verse 41, where it says that they that gladly received the word were baptized. And then in 42, it tells us what these baptized folks did. They continued steadfastly. They were earnest. They continued regularly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. I think also one of the significant ways in order to define the importance of prayer is to show that these Christians not only recognize the importance in their worship assemblies of praying fervently to God, but that they saw the necessity whenever there was a special need, or when there was something that was pressing upon the church, well, they would meet from house to house. How long has it been in this community that you have had a brother or sister to say, we're going to meet for prayer at our house on Friday night? Oh, we'll read some scriptures, but I want to invite some of you to come, and we're going to devote our hour to prayer. You know, we have so many that are in need of prayer. I have in mind especially the record that is found in Acts, the 12th chapter, where both Peter and James had been put in prison, and James had been beheaded. And verse 3 of Acts 12 says, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And the scripture says in verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And then you come over to verse 12, and it says that when Peter had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I don't know how it is that these verses of Scripture strike you. I do not know what all they were praying for Peter. Were they praying that he would escape death? Were they praying that he would sustain his faith unto the very end? I don't know, but I do know that it is a powerful example for all Christians to say it is appropriate, it is a wonderful thing whenever groups of Christians realize, oh, here are some things that we want to pray about. Here are some brethren that are in need. Here is a crisis that the entire church is going through. What are we to do? Let's get together and let us pray. And then, not only can we see the importance of prayer because of all of these Bible examples that are before us, but the Bible teaches us that Christians today are to pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to grow faint. What a admonition. What a learning process for us. Whenever we're in doubt, whenever we're in fear, whenever we face decisions that we know that are so far beyond us in our human understanding and our ability to solve them, to be able to bow, to kneel, and to pray to her Father. What are our needs in prayer as we think about that? Well, first of all, not only is it true that we are taught to pray, but you know, whenever we pray, we're answering God's request. It is such a marvelous relationship that God's people sustain to Him. We talked about idolatry this morning. Could you imagine the vanity of bowing down before an idol? And yet millions throughout the world are doing that very thing today. How blessed you are. How blessed we are that we have the scriptures that have enlightened us and they teach us. You're not praying to someone who has no power. You're not praying to someone who has not assured you that He is fully willing and capable to hear your prayers. We are praying to God, and every time we do so, that pleases our Heavenly Father. Well, further, what do your prayers demonstrate? Now, I want to assure you, I'm not talking about mechanical prayers. I'm not talking about individuals that have said, "Well, you know, my mother and father taught me from the time I was an infant that I ought to pray, and that habit is just sort of ingrained within me. I know before I go to bed at night that I'm to say, 'Now I lay me down to sleep.'" And it is so easy, so very easy, for prayer to become what I am going to say, not just a habit, but a useless habit. And all such is vanity. It will do us absolutely no good if when we pray, we are not doing it with all of our hearts and from the very depths of our being. But for the individual that so prays, and he says, "I need God. I need God." Prayer demonstrates your humility. Do you recognize what you are really doing whenever you address your Heavenly Father? You're saying, "Father, I'm so human. I'm so weak. There are so many things that I am not capable of doing, but I have full assurance that You are able." Jesus, on one occasion, as He gave a lengthy discourse about the futility of anxiety, He said in Matthew 6 and verse 27, in the form of a question, He said, "Can you add one cubit to your stature?" Now, the scholars are a little bit unsure there. Is He talking about can you grow 18 inches? And we see some of our teenagers and we say they don't even have to pray. They seem to grow those 18 inches just overnight, don't they? We see them at the beginning of summer and at the end of the summer, they've shot up there. But really, through anxiety, through worry, can you add any stature to yourself? But I think especially in our New American Translation, as an example, they see that as saying, can you add any length of days to your life? It seems to me like that really fits better, while I'm not absolutely sure. Through anxiety and worry, can you lengthen your days? And the answer is no. You might shorten them quite a bit by anxiety, but you certainly cannot add to them. And so that reinforces what the Scriptures teach us. Whenever you bow in prayer, you do that with all of the humility that you possibly possess. God will not hear the proud. He will not hear the boastful. He will not hear the individual that is so assured that they are already full. But for the individual who humbles himself in the sight of God, then it is that our prayers are beneficial. It does more, though, whenever you pray to God than show your humility, your dependence on Him. It shows your faith and confidence. You are aware of the lesson in James, the first chapter. Let him ask in faith. He that doubts, God will not hear his prayer. But whenever we pray to our Heavenly Father, and again, I'm talking about the prayers that you utter. Whenever you pray and you say, Dear Heavenly Father, that means that you recognize that you have one. You're not an earthly father. He is our Heavenly Father. Whenever you pray to Him in and through the name of Jesus Christ, again, that is not some mechanism. I have known sometimes, and I'm not advocating this kind of prayer necessarily, but I have noticed sometimes people get all out of sort because they say, you did not finish the prayer saying in the name of Jesus. Yeah, but the individual may have said, Our dear Father, we're approaching you in the name of Christ. And, of course, our faith is that which says, I believe in my Heavenly Father. I believe that He is absolutely able to do all things. And I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who is my mediator. And then there is a third thing that is going to teach us about the importance of prayer and our need for it. And that is, prayer is worship. Do you realize that? Just as singing is worship, just as the giving of our means is worship, just as partaking of the Lord's Supper is worship, whenever you approach your Heavenly Father in that approved way, you're worshiping Him. And oh, just so much of our prayer should be taken up with that. Have you ever felt that you need to learn how to pray? I hope you have. I didn't start off with a confession, but I want you to know I need this lesson just as much as I think anybody could. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, how do we do that? Oh, we have many good men that offer good prayers to God. But you know, whenever you look at the Word of God, study the prayers of Jesus. Well, how could you find a better role model? How could you find a better example of prayer than those of our Lord? Study the prayers of the Apostle Paul and of all of the saints, the Psalms. I don't know whether you have thought about that or not, but you know, so many of the Psalms are prayers. And whenever you look at those magnificent Psalms, not only for their beauty, but for their content, where the psalmist is expressing all of the glories of God and all of the wonder of the things that he has done. We probably cannot really consider the fullness of our subject unless we look at the statement that is found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, where Paul gives such good instructions there by saying in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Well, I think all of these Bible prayers, whether in the Old or the New Testament Scripture, that they consist of many of these very elements. Petitions to God, prayer, supplication, "Father, help me. Help us. Help this one that is in distress." And then thanksgiving. Then thanksgiving. They're all spiritual. They're all spiritual. It has been remarked more than one time that when the disciples asked the Lord, "Teach us to pray," he did say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, what is that? Well, that's not food for next week, did you notice? That is not complaining about how all you have is enough to sustain you for life. It is saying, "This is enough, Father. Would you take care of my material needs for today?" Oh, how the world, oh, how Christians, oh, how everybody needs to learn that valuable, valuable lesson. It doesn't have to do with prosperity at all. It may be God blesses you with prosperity. It certainly should be that over and over again that you thank him for the abundance of food, the abundance of clothing, the abundance of material blessings that are showered upon you. But just give us this day our daily bread and the rest of it, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, blessed, separate is your name. Your kingdom. Do you pray for the kingdom of God? Do you pray for forgiveness? It's right to pray for yourself, but it is certainly right that you would not be selfish in your prayers. And that as you are thinking about your own needs, whether they have to do with your health or whether they have to do with some pressing necessity that is upon you, don't forget to pray for others. I love it. I think it is appropriate. I've said this before, that when someone says, I have a neighbor who has cancer. I have a neighbor who has lost a loved one. Whenever we are asked to pray for those, remember what they need the most. What do they need the most? They need the gospel. The man who is dying of cancer, that individual that you work with, what does he need? He needs the Word of God. Those who are sorrowing, who do not have the comfort that we receive in Jesus Christ, what do they need? They need the gospel. They need to be taught what they can do in order that when the time of their death comes, that they will be prepared for it. Don't forget the spiritual nature of prayer. Pray for the sorrowing. You know, the Bible teaches that it is altogether appropriate whenever we lose a brother or sister in Christ, that this would be the time when we not only would rally around them, but in our prayers, that we would be praying for the comfort of God. Pray for the lost. Millions and millions of souls are facing eternity without the gospel. How blessed we are that you and I can have a part in that. Do you pray for the world itself? It's in such terrible shape. Whether you are praying for those that are in authority in government, or whether you are praying for those that are enmeshed in sin, whether you are praying for your own children, pray for the lost. Paul asked the brethren over and over again to pray for him. It's right. It is altogether wholesome to pray for preachers, for those that are proclaiming the Word of God. I can assure you it's not an easy job. I can assure you that there is a great weight that is laid upon these men. And as we think about men in Africa and in Asia and in South America and wherever they may be, when we think of our men here in the United States who are preaching, many of them in very difficult situations, pray for them. Pray for the elders. Pray for all that are in the church. Men in this congregation are frequently called on to lead in what we call public prayer. What a responsibility is yours. I don't know whether I can give you all of the rules, 1, 2, 3, as far as what you ought to do whenever you're called on to pray. But if you have advance notice, I hope all of you check the roster. If you have advance notice, let me beg you to give thought to what you're going to pray. Don't just say the same words over and over again. Give some thought. Let it come from your heart. Do you know why we love to hear children pray? Well, it's because they're just saying what they think, aren't they? The same thing is true whenever young babes in Christ began to pray. They don't know anything about what we call rules. And by rules, I mean the ones that we have set up. All they know is, I have this privilege to pray my Father. Remember, you're not praying for yourself whenever you are called on to lead the congregation in prayer. You have all of these folks that are praying with you. Be sure that what you pray is scriptural. Be sure that what you pray is understandable. Pray in such a way. If you have a weak voice, as it were, project your voice whenever you are praying so that others can say the amen. There's another kind of prayer. I guess we can call them closet prayers. And they're the prayers that you pray the most frequently. They're the prayers that you pray whenever you get up of the morning. Do you do that? Do you do that? Do you begin your day with prayer? I hope you do. I hope you do. You're calling on God to sustain you through that day. You're calling on God to help you to be a light in the world of darkness that day. You're calling on God to lead you to some soul today. Pray for your own needs. Pray that you can grow in strength. Pray that you will be the kind of example, that you will not lose your temper, that you will be careful that in all that you are going to do that day, that you will be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Are you afraid to pray when you go to the restaurant? Well, we should never be like the Pharisee, where we want to pray so that others can say, "Oh, you're so good." I want to encourage you, before you eat your restaurant meal, that you will bow your head just like you would at home, and you give thanks to your Heavenly Father. The blessings of prayer. God promises to hear. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is just among many. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We find mercy and grace. Jesus bids us come before His throne of grace. He's been tempted in all points like we have, and there Hebrews 4 and verse 16, mercy and grace is ours. And finally, Philippians 4 and verse 7, the peace that passes all understanding will fill your hearts and minds. Are you a Christian? Do you have the privilege to pray? As a Christian, pray as you ought. Brother Dick.